Hello again, class. Welcome to the second semester of Ever Increasing Word Training Center. I trust that everybody had a blessed, peaceful, joyous, prosperous New Year and Christmas and New Year. And we're starting to launch right now our second semester subject matter, the spirit of honor. We're going to be talking about today the attributes of a loyal assistant, or you can say a loyal ministry of helps worker, which is an assistant, because we are called to assist our man of God, our pastor, our apostle, or whomever we serve under. And one of the ways to build loyalty is to walk to build honor is to walk in loyalty. Amen. So I'm going to start off with a word of prayer, and then we'll get right off into the lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord God, as we embark on this new year, 2025. We thank you right now, Lord God, that the Holy Ghost will have his way in our lives in 2025. Praise God. And we thank you right now for our apostle and founder of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the first family, Lord God. We just trust, Lord God, that this semester is going to be productive for each and every student, and they'll get everything they need as we finish up the class year of 2024-25, Lord God, getting ready towards commencement. I just trust and I thank God for each and every student. And Holy Spirit, as always, I expect you to show up, because if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. So we're going to be looking at practical applications of honor through being a loyal assistant or a loyal steward or ministry of helps worker. All right. Loyalty is a principal qualification of every assistant or ministry of helps worker in the ministry. In an apostolic environment, there must be loyalty among its members for the government of God to advance properly. An inexperienced person would think that a friendly brother would make a good pastor. He may also think that somebody who is mightily anointed and has good oratory skills would make the best pastor or assistant. Do not make that mistake. The Bible teaches us that the cardinal qualifications for leadership is faithfulness and not anything else. 1 Corinthians 4th chapter verse 2 says, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in faithfulness, there's loyalty. You know, a lot of times when you hear the word loyalty, a lot of times people says, well, I've been loyal. I've been faithful to my pastor, say, for 10 years or 15 years. You know, they put a time stamp on it. And it's consistently walking in honor, walking in respect towards your man of God, and doing it with a loyal, sincere heart that has no hidden agendas, that has no ulterior motives, but to serve faithfully. Amen. If you work in the ministry of helps, you fall under the qualifications of an assistant to your pastor. In other words, you were called alongside your man of God, your pastor, to assist him in whatever he needs to do to fulfill the work of the ministry. An assistant is called to help their pastor in fulfilling the vision and the assignment that he has been called to do. Amen. So that's so very important that we understand that. You know, like I said, that's fulfilling the vision, you know, in the area of the ministry of helps. Our job as ministry of helps is to assist our man of God, our pastor. This is indeed a calling from God. A lot of times people don't look at an assistant or ministry of helps worker as a call of God. But it is, because God has equipped us and blessed us and graced us with various talents and abilities in order to help the vision move forward. You know, the ministry of health person actually puts legs to the vision, amen? An assistant is one who follows orders that comes down from the pastor or comes down from headquarters. The assistant dedicates himself to serve their pastor, who is called by God in the office of the pastor, or the, if it's an evangelist, or if it's a prophet or an apostle. Like I said, I'm going to use the word assistance and minister of helps interchangeably. So when I say assistant, I'm talking about minister of helps. When I talk about minister of helps, I'm talking about somebody who assists the pastor. All pastors, now this is important, all pastors should fall under and submit to an apostle, so that the flow of anointing can flow down properly. The apostle who has a heaven to earth connection, where divine mysteries and revelations flow from him down, from heaven down to the pastor, to those who assist the pastor, so that everybody is in proper alignment and can function supernaturally. You know, like I said, a heaven apostle has that heaven to earth connection. He receives instructions from heaven, and which is a vertical connection. And then our horizontal connection, as the pastor shares those insights and revelations that have been given to him by God, he shares it with the congregation and with the minister of help and assistance, so that we can all be in proper alignment and we can function supernaturally. Proverbs 27 and 18 in the King James Version says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so that he that waited or serves his master shall be honored." And that word serve means to be loyal, to your pastor, and serve and in any capacity that deems necessary. Amen. Okay. Proverbs 27 and 18 in the Message Bible says, "If you care for the orchard, you enjoy the fruits. If you honor your boss or your pastor, you'll be honored." So by honoring your man of God, you will also be honored. So one of the ways to walk in honor is by honoring through service to your pastor. Amen. Another translation, which is the AMPC, I'm not sure what those acronyms stand for, but it says, "Whoever tends the fig tree shall eat its fruit." So he that patiently and faithfully guards and heeds his master shall be honored. All right. And the NIV, same verse of scripture, Proverbs 27 and 18 says, "The one who guards a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whosoever protects their master shall be honored." You must understand protocol in ministry. The ranks in ministry and the importance of submitting to delegated authority, that's over you. You must understand the concept as one man and being a partner in destiny. Every member in the body of Christ serves a vital role that is equally important. Never think that what you're doing is mundane or does not have a significant relevance. From the parking lot to the usher to the greeter to the nursery worker, you know, to any and every area, those people who work camera, you know, media, every aspect, because if one aspect of ministry is lagging, it's going to affect other aspects of ministry, you know, and we want to make sure that we all are up to speed and in perfect alignment with the vision. Amen. All right. Here's something you're going to need to know. A good assistant is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rooted in the very heart of the ministry. They shall not be moved away from the ministry God has called them to. They shall not be moved. One more time. A good assistant is like a tree planted by the rivers of water, rooted in the very heart of the ministry. In other words, your heart is in the ministry. They shall not be moved. What I mean by moved is you're not going to uproot yourself and go somewhere else, because you're rooted in the ministry that God has called you to. You know, you're not going to be moved. Too often I see ministers and Ministry of Health workers and assistants feel like their tenure at the ministry is over with. You know, God doesn't make mistakes. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. If he called you to a particular ministry, that partnership is there for life. You know, unless your pastor deems that, hey, it's time for you to branch off in your own area of ministry because you have been faithful in his ministry. But otherwise, you need to stay put, because I use this illustration a lot. God has a particular brook, just like he sent Elijah to a brook, and the brook sustained him. God has a particular ministry that he wants you to be involved in, and that ministry is put in place wherever it's at in the United States or the country or the world. It's there to sustain you. It's to give you everything you need for you to be successful, for you to walk in the anointing, and for you to walk in the peace of God. Amen? Their roots, talking about the assistants, are planted deep in the soil of the ministry they are called to. This is so vital. Matter of fact, not only is it vital, the word vital means life-giving. So the ministry of helps and the assistant, person who assists, their roots are planted deep into the soil of the ministry that they are called to. You know, I've been here at Word of Life Christian Center for probably better than 32 years. And my roots are planted deep in the soil of this ministry. I'm not planning to uproot myself because I recognize my blessings. And blessings begin to happen exponentially as I yielded to my man of God, walked in the area of ministry God had called me to undergird him. I'm seeing the benefits and the blessings. So I'm not going to just get up and uproot myself, because God has been too good to me and my wife and my family. Psalms 1:3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You see, you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you know, with your feet dug deep in the soil of the ministry and the man of God that God has called you to, you know. And it says that, you know, that you're going to bring forth fruit in your season, and your leaves shall not wither, you know. And whatever you do is going to prosper. Why? Because God is going to look out for those that's supporting his agenda. Amen? And I stated this earlier, God will lead everyone to a particular brook to sustain them, you know, just like he did Elijah. All right, here's something else that's very important that you need to remember. A good assistant in ministry can be compared to a good ambassador of a country. He does not push his own ideas or vision or agenda, but only those of the home country or the pastor and the vision of the ministry God has called him to. So a good assistant can be compared to an ambassador to a country. And an ambassador represents a country. He speaks in behalf of that country, in behalf of the president, or in our case, in ministry, on behalf of the pastor or the prophet or the evangelist that he submitted to. You know, he does not push his own idea or vision or agenda, but only those of the pastor or the man of God that God has called him to, or, you know, in the reference of an ambassador to a country, he only pushes the agenda of his country or his president or leader. A good assistant in ministry can be compared to a good wife. He must not only obey instructions, but also must genuinely support and flow with the head, which is his pastor. He must not be one with an independent spirit or be a difficult or controlling person like a Vestai or Korah, you know, and company. you know, or a Jezebel. You don't want to be have a controlling spirit. If you are not faithful with another man's ministry, do not expect to have your own ministry of, you know, your own ministry. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So, I mean, those people who are aspiring for the ministry, it's so very important that you be a good minister of helps worker, a good assistant to your man of God. Now, the things that I'm sharing seem to be kind of mundane and should go without saying. But one of the things I've learned over the years is always the little foxes that spoil the vine. The things that you think that are insignificant and have no weight, those things that we take for granted and not put full heart and put full loyalty in, those are the things where the enemy tries to come in and deceive you. Amen? This takes loyalty in your service to whom God has called you to serve under. I believe that it is a gift and a calling to be a good, loyal assistant to your pastor, or a good, loyal ministry of helps worker to your pastor. Romans 11 and 29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. So if God has gifted you and called you into the ministry of helps, into being an assistant to your pastor, that gift and that calling is without repentance. Amen? Ephesians 1, 3, and 5 states, oh, glory to God. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According, he has chosen us or picked us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. In other words, God already knew what he aspired for you to do, but it's for us to get on the bandwagon and submit to our man of God and get under the alignment of that assignment, you know, and do it without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, that word predestined, that's verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Okay, so if God has not called you to stand in the office of assisting your pastor or your leader, do not take it upon yourself, because it's gonna be a frustrating thing and a difficult task. In other words, make sure that, you know, you're in the right church, and make sure you're in the right assignment, because otherwise it can be frustrating, it could be difficult, because there is an anointing given to serve in certain areas of the ministry of health, well, in all areas of the ministry of health. There is an anointing to serve as an assistant, because there are things you're not going to be able to do in your own strength. And whenever you're not called to a particular area and you branch out into it, well, you're not doing it according to God's will, so you're doing it according to your will. And so now it's your strength, and your strength and your ability will not be enough to complete or to handle the task. You need God's anointing, God's strength. And that's why it's so important to be in the right position, in the right spot in ministry. If you are the head, the pastor, you must ensure that you have loyal assistants working in the ministry of helps, always surround yourself with good, faithful, and loyal assistants, good stewards. That's so very important. You know, know the people that's under you, know their heart, and test their loyalty to make sure that they are loyal, faithful members. Because in times of pressure or in times of challenge, you need to know that those faithful assistants, those people in the ministry of help, have your back. And that's so very important for pastors to know. I want to share with you some lessons that will help you function in the role of a faithful, loyal assistant or ministry of helps worker. If you are going to assist, then you should do it well and with the spirit of honor and excellence. everything I'm sharing with you falls under the umbrella of honor. Lawyer assistants fall under the umbrellas of honor. I believe that these are vital and important points for walking in loyalty in the ministry to produce honor in your life. Amen. So number one, these are things that we need to do in the area of loyalty. Make mention of your pastor often and always in a favorable light. Always acknowledge him when ministering to others. You know, I'll not pray before a session without ministering apostle. You know, if I'm ministering to somebody, I'll reference his quotes or something that I might have seen him do, because I want them to know, especially if I'm ministering at another church or in another ministry, I want them to know where my headquarters is. I want them to know that this is not my ministry. I'm submitted to my man of God. So I mention him often, you know, in a favorable light. Whenever I minister at a church or away from, doing prison ministry or whatever, I always acknowledge my apostle as my spiritual father and pastor, because he is my covering. That's so very important. This helps you keep in alignment with him and the assignment, and allows the grace that's on your pastor to come upon you as you minister. Like I said, simple truths, but it's so easy to miss. You can get excited and people get excited about you when you're ministering. You need to let them know that, hey, this is not my ministry. You know, the material that I'm coming from, the anointing that I'm under, is all a product of my pastor who I'm serving. When they see you, they should see the connection you have with your pastor. I never minister anywhere without first getting my pastor's approval, blessing, and permission. You know, there have been times I might have been asked by, you know, other ministers, relatives, to minister or to do something from a ministerial point of view. I first reach out to an apostle, and I ask for his permission and his blessing, if I get that permission to go forward, because I wanna do it in the spirit of excellence, and I want his anointing and his backing me 100%. Amen. Number two, quote your head or your pastor as often as possible. I kind of already stated that. Quote him. You know, as I said earlier, you are actually acting as an ambassador, a representative for your pastor. Those who are ministering, those you are ministering to need to see the connection you have with your pastor or your apostle. Always acknowledge your head and always acknowledge headquarters, your pastor and the church. Paul says to follow me as I follow Christ. So I follow my apostle as he follows Christ. Amen. There must be a certain level of respect and admiration you have for your pastor. That's so very important. There must be a certain level of respect and admiration you have for your pastor or your apostle. Because if not, you might be in the wrong church. Do not see your pastor as an illustration of a bad example. You must speak of your pastor to someone to be admired and followed. Don't use his name in a bad light. Praise God. Hallelujah. Always use his name in a favorable light. In my institution, a particular person must be more prominent or in charge who is the head, which is the pastor. In every institution, which means every church, every organization, so forth. A particular person must be more prominent. When I say prominent, must be put forth first, or in charge, who is the head, which, you know, in most cases is your pastor. If more than one person is prominent or in charge, you have a situation where you have two heads. Anytime you have two heads, it is a freak. You know, when you think about something, some monster or something with two heads, that's a freak. God never calls for a democracy form of government. That means, you know, the majority rule, but a theocracy, which means that, you know, God's in charge. He gives instructions to the apostle and the pastor and so forth, and those instructions are handed down. So it's a theocracy, God in charge, not a democracy, the majority in charge. Make mention of the fact that you are doing are going to be doing things in behalf of the head or the pastor, the leader. You know, when I go to hospital visits, go to the homes to pray with somebody, and I've been sent by my man of God to do so, I let them know ASAP when I get there, this is not a social visit. I'm here on behalf of apostle. I'm here with an assignment from him to minister to you, to give you instructions from him on your behalf. You know, so when I go, I go from a ministry point of view, not from a social point of view. Even though they might be a best friend or somebody who I've been knowing for a while, this makes it clear that there is there's no two heads, but only one, and that you are submitted to and aligned with the head properly, your pastor, who should be connected to an apostle. Amen. All right, let's move on. Psalms 133, 1 through 3 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt and his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain, the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore." And that just talks about, you know, being as one man. Amen. To understand the flow of anointing. The anointing always flows down. You know, Aaron, who was the high priest, the anointing flowed down from him. It flowed down, as I stated, from the head, and ran down his beard, his shoulders, his torso. It just ran all the way down. And each part of the body is a part of the ministry of helps and the assistance, whether it's the right hand, the left hand, the shoulder, the hip, the leg, the toes, or what have you. When you are in proper, see, my body is in proper alignment. So whatever the head tells the arm to do, the arm does, because it's connected to the head. And so that's why it's so very important that we function and operate as one man. Number three, genuinely admire your pastor and praise him often. If you do not admire your pastor, you should not be working with him in the ministry of helps or as an assistant sitting under him in the first place. If you are a good assistant or minister of helps worker, you will see the wisdom. You will see the wisdom in the decisions that your head or your pastor makes. You will admire the way he preaches and the revelation he brings forth. A bad assistant or minister of helps worker is full of content from all that his pastor does. You know, in other words, he's always criticizing and making fun of, or you know, saying things to other people that he shouldn't say. People receive best from those they admire. This is the secret to catching the anointing that's on your man of God, by, you know, admiring and submitting and being loyal to him. Amen. Your level of expectation is high because you respect and admire your pastor. This opens the door for you to receive the anointing that's on his life. If you admire other pastors and have no admiration for your own pastor, I humbly submit to you that you are working in the wrong place. You're in the wrong church. Amen. So make sure you get that right. Like I said, simple things, little foxes that spoil the vine. Number four, Honor your pastor's wife as well. Bless her by giving her gifts and sowing into her life. Take note of any person who doesn't respect the pastor's wife. If it is an important sign to me that they do not respect the pastor as well. If you receive the pastor's wife, you receive the pastor as well, because they are one. In the same way, if you disrespect or disregard the pastor's wife, you have done the same to the pastor. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. Matthew 10:40. So he that receiveth you, receiveth me. Matthew 10:40. Equally, also you must honor the first family, the sons and the daughters and the grandchildren of your pastor. Honor the first family. That brings honor to you. Amen. Moving on. Number five, when you are called to minister to a church, church members, let them know that you are doing this is actually being done on behalf of the head or your pastor and not on your own behalf. So when you're called to minister to church members, let them know that what you're doing is actually being done on behalf of your pastor. You know, I never not mention my man of God's name, especially when I'm given an assignment from him. Amen. When you say in the name of Jesus, it makes the people know that you are acting on behalf of Jesus, our head. For instance, all ministers are to respect Christ. We do not come in our own name. We come in Jesus' name. You know, so when you acknowledge your pastor, you're coming on his behalf and not on your own name. Amen. All right. Number six, always remind the congregation that you are not the pastor. As God blesses you and gives you more assignments, it's so easy for some people to see you as being a pastor. Matter of fact, there's a gentleman in our church, I have to correct him every now and then. He says, apostle is my apostle, but you, sir, you're my pastor. And I said, no, I understand what you're saying, because you do get instructions from me, but the instructions you get from me came through me from apostle. So I am not your pastor. I'm in the ministry of helps. Yes, I'm in leadership, but apostle is your apostle and pastor. He said, yes, sir, I got it. I said, I just want to make sure you understand, you know, I'm not going to buck rank, because I'm not called to be a pastor, but I can operate pastorally because of the anointing that's on my life, because of the alignment that I'm in. But that's only because I'm operating under his jurisdiction and his approval and his authority. Amen. When people praise you, and you are very impressed, and they're very impressed with your ministry, you must be able to quickly tell them happily that there is someone above you that you receive from. You are a product of your pastor's ministry. Note what John the Baptist did when the people were so pleased with his ministry. He says, I am not the Christ, but I am sent. John 3:28. John said, he must increase, talking about Christ, but I must decrease. You know, I always like to get out of the way. I don't like to be in the way. I don't want people to see me, but I want people to see Apostle. I want people to see Word of Life, Christian Center. I'm just a product of the ministry. If you are not willing to let others know that there is someone more senior to you that you submit to, surely there must be something wrong with you and your loyalty, and you want all the credits for your own success, and that's a mistake, that's an error. Don't want that to happen. Amen. The good assistant tells, this is number seven, the good assistant tells the admiring congregation where he learned all that he knows. You know, Jesus said, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. Always stay small in your own eyes. You know, never let your pride, or never let pride and arrogance creep up and give you the big head. Amen. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. So always stay humbly, stay at walk in humility. That's Proverbs 18 and 12, and that's in the NIV. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Number 8, flow with the decisions and policies made by your pastor. Do this even if you might have a different opinion. In other words, whatever he decides, that's the direction we're going. Amen. Only one strategy can be implemented at a time. If you are an assistant, you are supposed to submit to your pastor. You may say, I don't think this is the right thing to do, but if this is a decision your pastor has taken, I will abide by and submit myself to it. Because of their position in government, they operate in more spiritual insight and revelation than you, because God has given them the assignment. All right, this is something you need to know. A good loyal assistant does not discuss with the pastor or other church members how the church should be run, but submits to and accepts the decisions of the pastor. Amen? And it's so very important. So as a good loyal assistant, you don't need to be discussing, you know, how the church should be run with the pastor, but submit to and accept the decisions that the pastor makes. Amen? All right. Number 9, a good assistant does not establish a private side fellowship in the church or at home without the acknowledge and approval of the pastor. So in other words, don't start a little private Bible study without first getting approval of your pastor. You know, anything I do in the area of ministry, I've been asked to do it, and I've gotten the approval to do it. Amen? All outside ministry from those who are in the church must first get their pastor's approval, because you are representing him. Amen. That's so very important. All right. This is something else you need to know. Good loyal assistants ask for the pastor's approval and blessing to go when asked to minister at another church or ministry. You want to stay under your pastor's protective covering, and you want his anointing on your life when you minister with his approval. Amen. Number 10, a loyal assistant personally gives gifts to his pastor. Now, sow into your pastor's life often. I always state, never go before a man of God empty-handed. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Proverbs 18 and 1. A gift means 10,000 different things. It means that the giver loves you, he appreciates you, he respects you, he honors you. I know a pastor said, you know, when you give him a card, you know, if the card doesn't have a monetary blessing in it, you know, that shows little love and really little loyalty. When you put a card in his hand, you need to sow, put money in that card to show your respect and your honesty and your sincerity. It also means an assistant admires you when you do this, thinks well of you, and wants to be like you. A gift is also sending a message of encouragement, telling your pastor that he has been a real blessing to you. A gift also says, I want the anointing that's on your life. Number 11, a good assistant will learn to know their pastor's heart. A good assistant will learn their pastor's heart. One of the most important things you need to know in regards to your pastor is you must know his heart. Know what motors him, what drives him. When you ask God to show you your pastor's heart and you understand it, you're going to have a greater appreciation for him and what he does, because you understand and know his heart. You want to know your pastor's heart. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. Amen. One of the most important things that you need to do in regards to understanding your pastor is to know his heart, what drives him, what motivates him. You know, ask God to show you his heart. This his heart can lead you into a greater honor because you see him and you see his heart. Amen. These acts of loyalty in your life towards your pastor will help you to produce the end result in your life, which is honor. And with that stated, we're going to end this class session. I'll see you guys next week. Enjoy your week. Be blessed. Amen.